Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
The chief of police is with us, Brian Strachas. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I didn't screw up the last name, did I?
It's Strachas, but that's a common
Strachas.
Mistake.
Strachas. Well, you know, yeah. I was thinking about an old rock and roll song when I saw the name, and I was thinking, nah, it can't really be that, can it? But nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Did we talk before? Are you the department that had the technology where you could shoot something at the back of someone's car, a tracker, so to speak, and you could track them down without having to get into a full-on police chase?
Yeah, Star Chase. We did talk before about Star Chase. We're a very tech-driven, proactive police department. So we're utilizing all sorts of technology to act as force multipliers for us, and Star Chase is one of them, and the Stronus First Responder is another one.
And Chief, that's because you're getting a lot of people coming out of Chicago that are creating chaos for you, right?
Well, I think just our geographical location on the eastern edge of the county with I-88, I-290, 294 all running right through the center of town. So I think just our geographic location and the heavy retail presence that we have here in town kind of attracts some would-be thieves, but we're trying to utilize all this technology to stay ahead of it.
Okay, so tell me about the fully autonomous drone. How does it work? Who operates it? Just fill us in.
Yeah, so drones as first responders really kind of originated in California and on the West Coast and Sun Belt, and now they're making their way into the Midwest. We're proud to be the first agency in Illinois to be live with the program, and we've been live for just about 3 months now. It's fully autonomous. There's an operator that simply types in the address of a call for service. The drone will fly itself to the scene, be the first to arrive on the scene 9 times out of 10, beating the officer there, and really have the eyes on the ground and a great aerial view of any situation that we're walking into.
And have you had success with it?
We've had a huge amount of success in a 3 month time frame. Anything from in progress calls, burglaries, police chases, to very mundane calls like burglar alarms or disabled motorists, we've been able to deploy the drone and be able to determine whether or not an actual police officer is needed to arrive on scene. So that's been great for us. We have a traffic issue out here in Oak Brook, many major thoroughfares, running through town. And so if we can utilize the technology to get there and get there first and see if a police officer is even needed to respond to that area before one is dispatched, that frees our guys up for real emergencies that they need to respond to.
Chief, explain that a little bit. I mean, how does a drone decide whether or not a real officer is needed?
Well, just as an example, on a burglar alarm, we've had situations where we've deployed that drone to that house, and actually a former village president, it was his residence, and the drone operator was able to see, nope, that's the village president that's just activated an alarm, so we didn't need to send an officer to confirm that. Or in another situation in rush hour traffic where it's reported that a tow truck or a disabled vehicle is blocking traffic and that drone arrives first on scene before the officer gets there, and it's able to see and observe, note that the vehicle's on its way and we don't need to send an officer to confirm that.
And I mean,
go ahead.
I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but so take me back to the former village president who embarrassed himself by having the police called.
Yeah, it's pretty frequent here. Residents have burglar alarms, which we appreciate.
But the drone shows up. How does the drone know that it just was an unnecessary alarm that it could go back?
Yeah, how did it know it was the village president and that he was the owner of the house?
Right. So our drone first responder is operated out of our real-time crime center. So there is an operator that sees in real time what's going on, what that drone is viewing as it's responding to that call. And, of course, since the village president, former village president, is very well known by all of our staff, he was able to make that determination just because of who he was. So there is someone on the other end that's actually watching that flight path and controlling it to a certain extent, not actually controlling its flight, but controlling the cameras and where it's zooming into.
I read that you had said that you believe all police departments will have these type of drones within the next 5 years. But what about surveillance? At what point does it get turned into a drone that would surveil an event or a gathering to look for what might be a potential crime?
Well, that's a great question. So just as an example, on July 3rd, we have our large Taste of Oak Brook event. We have about 35,000 people in attendance for a great festival and fireworks show. And we were able to deploy our drone and pretty much fly continuously for the entire event to surveil the crowd. It's important to note that we're not in the business of surveilling people unless if it's a posted event to where you're notified prior that the drone's going to be deployed. This drone as first responder is only deployed to associated emergency calls for service. So situations where the police are coming anyways, it's the first responder on scene that's providing that real-time aerial shot to relay that information to the officer of what he or she is getting himself into.
But so, I would imagine if the drone's on its way to the former village president's house and I live the next block over, that there's a chance that the drone could be videotaping me in my backyard.
Well, that's a good question, too. So the way it's configured is as it's flying to its destination with that associated 911 call, the cameras are positioned in such a manner that it's not viewing or recording or showing anyone in their backyard minding their own business that doesn't have anything to do with that incident. So we're not actually viewing that in real time. The cameras are pointed in direction of the flight path, and when it gets overhead of that scene, the GPS coordinates, then the operator can control it and start to zoom in the locations that are associated with that call for service.
And Chief, one of our texters wants to know about the battery life, probably because it's much better than what we get on our drones.
Yes. So one of the reasons, there's many manufacturers that are getting into the DFR game. One of the reasons why I chose Flock Safety is because our system has an automatic battery swap. So there's a housing that the drone flies back to, and it's able to change its own batteries within 60 seconds and redeploy itself. So we're able to, depending on how much the cameras are used on an incident, we're able to keep that drone up in the air for about 40 minutes. And if there's a scene that requires it to come back home, change its own batteries, it can do that within 60 seconds.
Oh,
and it flies at about 50 miles an hour and 400 feet in the air. So it can get from one end of town to the other very quickly.
You know, we're out of time, but I'm speaking for Lisa, but the going back to flying somewhere and not having others surveilled, the drone not videotaping on its way, that can be a downside too, right? I mean, that the drone might well pick up video of someone driving away from the crime scene or something like that, and it's going to miss that if it's not recording.
Yeah, and of course that could be overridden in certain situations where we might think that an offender is fleeing an area. The operator can actually start to zoom in as it's approaching the incident. So it's very situational driven. And in a situation where we might think that someone is fleeing, of course we can override the cameras and point it to a larger aerial view, which you can do very well at 400 feet in the air.
Chief, every time we talk to you, we learn so much, and of course, it prompts a bunch of questions, so we know we'll chat again in the future, but thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
That's Chief Brian Strokas, Chief of Police for Oak Brook.